In November of 2009, I stood on the street in Beijing, China. 16 million people, one city. They pack you into trains. Pack you in. They push to get you in. Buses the same way, wall-to-wall people. Lima, Peru, you saw pictures of it. 8 million people. 8 million people. People in China and Beijing would say, we're going to the little hometown. Only 10 million people live there. That's all, just 10 million. We're going to a little tiny town. There's only 5 million people that live there. Just 5 million. Little town. Hong Kong, China. Little town. Milton, Florida. Microscopic town. But guess what? Every one of those towns has people in it that need the message of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, go ye into the uttermost parts of the world, guess what? Where he said that from, Milton, Florida, is the uttermost part of the world. Right? This is a far ways from Israel, right? This is the uttermost part of the world. And Israel for us is the uttermost part of the world, as is every other country who's way far away. It's the uttermost part of the world. But the Great Commission is still the mission. Right? It's still the mission. And wherever we are located geographically, because of where we are located spiritually, God's people, God's servants, God's messengers, saying, oh, that's Pastor Brainerd's job, that's not my job. No, I'm not full-time. I'm not full-time ministry. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the mission he left for believers. It goes for every believer, no matter where you are geographically. You may live in a beautiful place. You have a beautiful beach. But it's not about where you live. It's not about geographics. It's about people that Jesus loved and came and died for. That's what it's about. There's some things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to win them to the Lord. We're supposed to baptize them. We're to teach them to observe all things. We're to teach them the scripture, so that they live a biblical lifestyle. You know, as a Christian, I am not my own. The Bible says you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And because God bought me with his blood, he owns me. And he has a job for me to do, and it's the mission of the Great Commission. And geographically, wherever I am, I need to have a heart for people. And every time I stand in a city, even though I can't speak their language and I don't know what in the world's going on around me, in most cases, I understand when Jesus looked at Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. And he wept. And how often do we weep over people? How often is it important to us that they hear the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus? See, our job is not to make them believers, but for them to hear. You understand that? When we have given them the message, when we delivered the message, we've done our job. Now, we want it to go further than that because we want them to believe, and then we want to be able to teach them to observe all things whatsoever God has said unto us. We want to see people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His Word and His Holy Spirit. That's our heart's desire. That's the goal that God has set before us, as Pastor mentioned this morning. It's not just enough to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. You know, it's sort of be like, if you remember when the kids were little, for me, I have to remember almost as far back as Howard. But we're not going to pick on Howard. But I remember when the kids were little and we brought them home from the hospital, what would you have thought of me if I had thrown the little girl into the crib and I said, okay, grow up, and walked away? See, I told her what to do. I got straight to it. You know what? She needed a whole lot of help at that point. Okay? She needed a whole lot of help. And when new believers are just baby Christians, they need a whole lot of help. They don't need us to criticize them because they're so immature. They make such stupid decisions. They mess up. They just need a whole lot of help. How many of you had a baby that never messed up a diaper? If you do, let me know how that worked. I don't know. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We ought to have a thirst to know God, to know Him personally. Not theologically, although you have to know Him that way too, but personal knowledge of God. Do you personally know God? Do you personally know God? God wants people to experience His best because He loves them. You understand that? God loves people. That's why He was on the cross. Not because the Roman soldiers were stronger than Him. That wasn't it at all. Not because He couldn't come down from the cross like they asked Him to do, because He was weak and they had Him nailed. That wasn't it at all. Because He loved us. That's why He was there. How do we know that we know Him? Do you have assurance that you are a child of God? How do we share that knowledge with someone else who has just become a Christian? How do they know that they know God? There's a verse in John chapter 10 and verse 27, and it says this, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." You know that verse. It's an assurance verse. How do you know God? How can you be sure that you're saved? Here's the short abbreviation of that verse, the Mel Wingrove edition. Okay? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? God speaks through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. Do you hear His voice? You know, sometimes I see people doing all kind of stuff that is contrary to biblical truth. And I say, did God never bring a passage of Scripture to your mind that lets you know that that's wrong? And they say, no. I mean, you've never had any thing from God that says this lifestyle of immorality is wrong? This lifestyle of thievery is wrong? God never spoke to you about that? No. You don't hear the shepherd's voice? You see, if you're one of His sheep, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." Here's the question, second question, do you follow Him? Do you walk in obedience to His Word and His Holy Spirit? That's how you know you're a child of God. That's how you know that He's the shepherd and you're the sheep. Two simple questions to know that we know him. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you follow him? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's not really complicated, but it is kind of convicting, isn't it? One more verse, and I've got it done, because the stage disappears shortly. No, it doesn't. 2 Corinthians chapter. Ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. The Bible says you are an epistle of Christ. People look at your life. They look at how you respond when situations are not good. And they read the epistle of Christ written on the fleshly tables of your heart. The Bible said it is known and read by everybody who knows you. What does that epistle say? When you're under stress, when you don't get your own way, when you're irritated and when you're frustrated, when you don't know which direction to go next, what does the epistle say? It's easy for us to live the Christian life when everything goes our way and everything's smooth and running along just perfectly fine. But people really get to see Christ when life for us, as far as they can see, is a mess. But we're calm. When I pastored in Pennsylvania, there was a lady in the church that had breast cancer. So she had an operation that was gone. And it was back. So they took her down to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center in Pittsburgh. And they were going to do bone marrow transplant. They said, the bone marrow transplant works this way, lady. We take your bone marrow out of your body. We wrap it in horse liniment. Sorry, that's the way it works. And we stick it in the freezer. We give you super doses of all kind of horrendous chemicals. And if you're still alive, we put the bone marrow wrapped in horse liniment back into your body. And if that doesn't kill you and you're still alive, you might live. What's the possibility that I might live? 5%. In other words, you might as well check in at the mortuary, you know. And I was down visiting her when the doctor was telling her all this, so that's how I know. And I also asked permission to tell her story. And I don't tell those kind of stories without permission. And the nurse, when she was done explaining all this, said to her, Bonnie, you're going to lose all your hair. Bonnie said, I don't think so. The nurse says, absolutely, there's no way in the world it can't happen. Bonnie said, I can't lose my hair. The nurse said, you don't understand. About that time, Bonnie pulled off the thing and she already lost all of her hair. It was already gone. And she laughed, but the nurse wasn't laughing. But Bonnie was okay with going to heaven, if that's what God wanted for her. The nurse couldn't understand that. She said to me, Pastor, could I talk to you out in the hall? And I said, yes, you can. So she and I stepped out in the hall. She said, the lady has a real problem. She says, she's been in here all this time. She's a registered nurse. She knows what's going on. But it's like she doesn't believe that it's going on. I mean, she's completely at peace. And you heard what I just told her. How could you be at peace like that? And you know what? The epistle written in the fleshly tables of the heart was alive and well in Bonnie Marcheski. And I told the lady that. I said, this lady attends my church. I said, she personally knows God. I said, she knows all that stuff you told her. And she told God, if you want me to die, that's fine with me. If you want me to live, that's fine with me. But I'm going to be a testimony wherever I am. And when people see that kind of testimony written in the fleshly tables of our heart, they see the real epistle of Christ. And it really smacks them hard sometimes. They walk away thinking we're idiots, we're crazy, we don't have our brain turned on. But it doesn't make any sense to them, because they don't know Christ. The mission is still the Great Commission. It's about people. We gotta love people. Geography doesn't mean anything. Whether it's Hawaii or the jungles of Cambodia where dengue fever and malaria and Japanese encephalitis wipe you out. And they tell you not to walk out in the woods because you step on a landmine and get blown up. Or if you're walking the beach in Destin, Florida. Or you're walking the beach in Split, Croatia. It's about people. And because God loves them and died for them, we're supposed to love them and share the message of His love for them. That's our job. How do we know that we know Him? We hear the voice of the shepherd. And we follow Him. And people know that we're following Him, and the Word of God is written in the fleshly tables of our heart, and it's known and read by everyone. What is the epistle of Christ that people that know you know from you that's written on the fleshly tables of your heart? Wherever you are, in occupation means nothing. Where you are geographically, the people that are around you are your mission field. That's where they are. Let's not let them go without knowing the love of Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the truth that lies therein. We thank Thee for the privilege that You have given us of being ministers of Your Word, that people might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent, that they might know life and peace and joy that comes only as they know Thee and walk in obedience to Your Word and Your Holy Spirit. We pray that You would help each of us to love people as You love them. We might share with them Your love for them, and they might realize that we love them as well. Help us to listen to the voice of the shepherd, that we might have that assurance in our hearts that we belong to Him and we are doing His will. We pray in His precious name. Amen.